then he had his turn. Then we had Christmas. So we're going to pick this up again. Phil, remember, I changed the title. It was Be a Doer of the Word, and then we changed it to what? Walking in the Light? Y'all remember? Oh, gosh, we done forgot? That's okay. God's going to remind us this morning. All right. Now, the title this morning is called Be a Doer of the Word of God. I wrote this down because I want to say this, too, before we get started into what I'm going to be talking about. After you get born, or when you get born again, right then, you have a relationship with God. You may not really know anything about Him, you know, or anything like that, but you're in the family. You're in the relationship with God. So, you know, you spend time with Him praying and stuff like that. But after you get born again, reading and studying the Word of God is one of the most important things you can do. It's going to tell you what God likes. It's going to tell you what God hates. It's going to tell you how God wants you to be. It's going to tell you who you are now. Right? Because the Bible says, sorry about my voice. The Bible says that once we get born again, we're a new creation. You don't even know who you are. You realize you're different, but you don't necessarily always know. And the Bible's going to tell you who you are in Him, what you have in Him, the promises that's been made to you in His Word that He says is yes and amen, right? So it's very important that you read and study the Word of God. And there's some people out there that today, they say we don't need to read the Old Testament, but I beg to differ. Because just like I wrote it down here, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. Now I'm going to read this. I'll start here in verse 1. Now, this is what he's talking about here in this chapter. He's referring to the Old Testament. Now, if all we need to read is the New Testament, and the New Testament refers something to the Old Testament, how am I going to know what he's talking about unless I read the Old Testament too? Right? So we need both. Now, we live today under the New Covenant in the day of grace, which is in the New Testament. But we need the Old too, and that's what he's talking about here. Verse 1. And I'm going to read this in the King James Version. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." Oh, wow. When he starts off with that, that's an important thing, right? Ignorant just means you don't know something. He says, "How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." So that tells me he's talking about the New Testament, right? The children of Israel. When he took them out of Egyptian bondage and he told them, he made a promise to them. He said, "I'm going to take you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. You're going to drink out of wells that you didn't dig. You're going to drink eat grapes from vineyards that you didn't plant and all that." Really good, right? So that's what he's referring to. Verse 6, it says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Now, that tells me I don't know everything there is to know what they did and why they did it. So I need to go back and I need to read that, right? To know what, if I'm not supposed to do what they done, then I need to go back and read and study. What did they do? What was it God didn't like about them, right? So we need to read the Old and New Testament. If you'll read those papers we got back there, it's got a chapter with a verse on it for Monday through Friday. If you'll read that right there, that will get you through the New Testament in 1 year, right? All of us that's done it, it ain't always our same starting place every year, but every year when we read those papers, the way it's marked, we read the New Testament. But you need to be on some kind of Old Testament reading plan too, or just every day go read so much in the Old Testament. Okay? It's going to really help you. We went over scriptures last week about, he said, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? He says that you may grow thereby. So that tells me if I don't have the Word, I'm not going to be growing like I should. Right? It's so important. Jesus said in, believe it's Luke 4 over there, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone," in other words, natural food. He said, "But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live." I want to challenge you this year. Give God your everything and see what he will do with you. If y'all remember, I told y'all last year that God spoke to my heart, because I always, you know, ask him anything you're saying about the coming up year. And he told me, he said, go back old school. Go back and do the things that you used to do. Because I wasn't doing, I mean, when I got saved, I would read 10, 15 chapters of the Bible a day, not making myself. It was just good to me, you know. I just wanted to do it. Travis was little. He'd take naps, so I would have the time for it. And I was still reading the New Testament, but I went back and I wrote down scriptures. Scriptures about health, scriptures about my finances, scriptures about my mouth, different things like that, you know, and the blessing and how God has forgiven all my iniquities and healed all my diseases and things like that that I read every day last year. Well, plus my Old Testament and my New Testament reading, all that. And it was like the other day, it just hit me. God, I know why you told me that. Because this year's going to be a year. What I mean by that, it's going to be good. Now, I didn't say it wouldn't have its hardships. Every year has its hardships, right? But it's going to be good this year. God's really going to use his people that seek him and go after him and obey him. Why? Because there is an end time harvest that we have to gather in. Now, he'll do the drawing, right? He said, we bid them, and he'll do the drawing, and they'll come. Amen? But I had to be ready for this year. You had to be ready for this year. And if you're not, you better hurry up and get ready. And all of that I'm talking about is going to help you. And if you'll give God your... I saw God do things with me last year that I never saw him do before. He renewed my mind, tweaked my thinking in some things, showed me some areas that I had totally wrong thinking about. How many knows if you believe wrong, you get wrong results? Absolutely. So I need to believe right. Y'all remember the Mavericks? Now, I know the y'all that are new here ain't going to want to. They're a pair of sunglasses, and I ain't got time to go through all that. And y'all remember how I told y'all that God told me he needed me to believe for them? And I talked about how that was the gift of faith. Every born-again person has faith. But then in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gift of faith, or the gift of healing, you know, and the gift of tongues and all this other stuff. It's talking about that's a gift. And when God told me that he needed me to believe for them, and I said, okay, I will, it was like the Holy Ghost came and attached himself to my right side. I can't explain that. You know how it feels when somebody stands beside you and they're touching you, right? That's exactly how it felt to my whole right side. From the time that I started believing God for those glasses until not even when I got them, but after when I came and told y'all and showed them to y'all. It was like, he was gone. Not in here, but on this right side. I have never experienced that before in my life. I mean, it was to the point to where when he was not there like that anymore in that situation, it was like I felt depressed nearly. It was like, where are you? You know. And then y'all remember the songs that God gave me in the process in the Mark 4 that what did we spend on that? 7-8 months, I think, studying that. I've never studied on something that long or taught on something that long in my life. And it actually made sense, and we got good stuff out of it, right? It showed us how the kingdom operates. And then the songs that he gave me that I had me, and had me come to church and bring them to y'all. Y'all remember those? I've never had God do things like that in my entire life. And this is going to be a year, if we just give our hearts to God and do what he said, we'll see great and mighty things. Because how many knows God's always ready? He's already done it, right? We just have to get prepared and walk with him. Now, in saying all that, let's see here. Let's look at Proverbs 6. Can y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay. My voice, I was just making sure I didn't need an interpreter or something. Y'all good, right? Y'all engaged, right? Okay. Because I need a little help this morning. Proverbs 6, and we're going to start reading in verse 20. He says, and I'm going to read this. I got it marked as the Amplified. Okay. He says, my son, keep your father's God-given commandment and forsake not the law of God your mother taught you. That alone tells me, parents, we're supposed to be teaching our children the word. And not just telling them. How many knows a leader's supposed to lead by example? He goes on and he says, bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. When you go, the words of your parents, God, shall lead you. When you, and I'm not just talking about to the kids. This is for all of us. When you sleep, they shall keep you. And when you waken, they shall talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the whole teaching of the law is light, and reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a loose woman. But go back up there and look what that says. He says, keep that word in your heart, right? He says, it's going to talk to you. I had somebody, I don't know, I guess it's probably been a few months ago now. I had somebody, they kind of getting rough talking with me. And y'all that know me, I don't like that. You know, and I have had a tendency in the past to get kind of riled up pretty quick. But I've been working on it and everything. I read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8, every day. Now, last year I did miss a couple of days. I had to get up earlier than usual or something, you know, but I always read it. Well, because I had been reading that, why? Because I'm working on love. Faith works by love. Don't think you're going to have great faith, mountain-moving faith when you mean as a snake. It's just not going to happen. Because the Bible says faith works by love or is energized by love. Anyway, and they get kind of rough talking with me, you know, and getting a little loud and all of that and everything. I heard in here, I heard 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is patient and kind. Love takes no account of the wrong done to it. I heard those words because I felt myself, I'm about to get upset. I can feel it. So I'm just about to explode, and I heard that. Excuse me. That's what he's talking about here. That word will talk to you. That word will keep you, right? And it'll also keep you from the evil woman, guys. Because there's a lot of girls nowadays. I'm telling you, y'all boys need some help. Used to, it was the guys after the girls all the time. Back in my day or whatever, which I did tell Scotty. I did go up to him, and I did tell him to marry me and everything. Because I was led, I didn't know it. But see, best thing he could have done. What you in there for, Johnny? You too, Samantha? Hey, listen, I'm the type of woman, if I know what I want, I go after it. Whatever that is. If it's snack cakes, it's snack cakes. If it's Scotty, it's Scotty. If it's God, it's God. Y'all getting me off my message here now. But anyway, hey, just like he said right there, that word will talk to you. It will keep you. But the only way that word can talk to you and keep you and all of that is if you've put it in. He says if you keep it in your heart. What's that mean? It means I can't just hear it and forget about it. I need to keep reading it. I need to keep quoting it, right? Confessing it out of my mouth. And then it will. And I'm telling you, last year, that 1 Corinthians 13 saved me from a lot of trouble. And we could say Scotty too. The Lord blesses all of us, right? Excuse me. Let's see where I want to go now. Just put this one up here, Beth. The John 6:63. We won't turn through it. It says, it is, Jesus was saying this, it is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit, whatever. There is no profit in it. The words, truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and they are life. I don't know about y'all, but I want spirit and I want life. I don't want no death or none of that. Jesus, I mean, God even told him in the Old Testament, he said, I set before you, he said, life and death, blessing and cursing. And in case you get a little slow, he said, choose life. He even helps us. But how many knows? He cannot make the choice for us. I thought about this. I had never thought about it. But in what we're going to be looking at here about being a doer of the word, it's a choice. And I thought, it's a choice that's going to get you out of this mess and change, just as it was a choice that got us into this mess to begin with. Right? It is the same thing. They made the wrong choice, but we're going to make the right one, right? All right, let's look at James 1. Let's get into what we want. The Lord wants us to see here. And I feel like we're probably going to be on this for a little while, but we'll see. Because I think this one is going to be not as long, I don't know, as Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8 was. The sower sows the word. But we're going to try to milk the cow on this. What's that mean? Don't get tired of hearing it. Let me say that again. Don't get tired of hearing it. Because one of the problems that we have as people, and I think a lot of times, I'm not just saying this church, I think a lot of times we have allowed it to come over into the church just like this. You hear a message, say you go in here in the library or something, get you a 5 or 6 CD set. You hear the first one, you're like, oh, that was good, put on the second one. You remember what the first one said? Y'all not saying nothing. So then you put on the second one, you're like, oh, that was good, let's hear the third one. When I listen to messages, when I feel, I do like this. It's like I trust God to lead me on the inside what I need to hear. The Bible says a word is good, what? In its season. I don't need to just be hearing any word. I don't need to be hearing every word. I need to be hearing the word of the Lord that he's speaking to me in the season and time that I'm in. And I don't need to just hear one message on it. When I feel that God is leading me in a certain direction, I go find ministers that I trust to listen to messages on that. And then I listen to it, and I listen to it, and I listen to it, and I listen to it. Every time I listen to it, I hear more of what I did not hear before. And it's like, that's just like this. I just got done reading the whole Old Testament, started again January, you know. I was reading around down through there, and I'm in Genesis. And all of a sudden, something, bam, stuck out to me. And last year, I did not even notice. Now, what if I was not reading that? Is God really going to come along and somehow make somebody say it to me, read me, read it, or something like that for it to stick out to me or get a revelation about? No. Y'all getting real quiet. No, he won't. Why? I have a choice. He says, those that seek him do what? What if you don't? One reason why a lot of people's confused why their life is where it is. I am a result, good or bad, whatever my life is right now, of my choices. And that some people, they say, you try to use the excuse, oh, I had this happen to me when I was a kid, and I didn't have this when I was growing up, or my mom or daddy did this, you know, or I didn't have a mama or a daddy or whatever, to excuse and make excuses why they are the way they are. How many knows, once you get older and you get born again, there is no excuse. I am a result, good or bad, of whatever choices I have made every day, all day long of my life. And I can't blame that on anybody. Now, maybe you had more to overcome in a certain area than I did. But maybe I had more to overcome in a certain area than you did. Jesus levels the playing field for everybody, right? If you are broke, he can make you rich. If you are sad, he can make you glad and full of joy. If you're in despair, he can lift you up, can't he? Yes, he can. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's get on with this. Here in James chapter 1, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified, so Beth will have the Amplified on the screen if you don't have that version. Verse 19, he says, understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to what? Quick to hear. A lot of times I am quick to speak and slow to hear, and I'm going to change that. I'm going to get quicker to hear. And tomorrow I'm going to be quicker than what I was today and slower to speak. Somebody knows if you're talking, you ain't hearing. And we got to be hearing. He says, quick to hear. He says, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense and get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts. And remember what we've learned over there in that study of so or so's the word? I can change my ear by my heart. Right? In your heart contains the power to save your souls. He says, but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception. The devil ain't involved with this. Betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. Y'all know what that's like. You look in the mirror You can see if your hair's messed up or if it's fixed or if you got a pimple or you're looking good, right? He goes on and it says, for he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly what? We can't forget. That's why I said last week, you can't come in these doors and hear a message and think, ooh, that was good. This stuck out to me. God was talking to me. And not let it go past that door right there. Because how many knows you will not do what you forget? So that tells me on purpose, I am going to have to remember. That means I'm going to have to think about it. I'm going to have to meditate on it. I may have to study on it, right? Because I can't forget it. Because if I forget it, I won't be a doer. And then if I'm not a doer, I become self-deceived. And this is where a lot of people is today, and they can't figure it. This is a really, really big problem. And God led me in studying in this. This is a bigger problem than I thought it was. I even saw some areas in my own life. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Little Ron Carpenter there. But y'all not. Y'all not saying nothing. We're getting real quiet. Why? God won't make our decisions for us. He'll make sure that if we love him and we want him and his word is precious to us, he makes sure. We have heard some good word, people. We have heard some word that they, some people, they would like to have heard, and they did not. What are we doing with all that word that we've heard? See, we can't forget it, because if we forget it, we won't do it. And if we don't do it, we will not be blessed. Oh, my goodness, here we go. Okay, just like this. How many feels like y'all done something this morning? You could say, well, I got up, I brushed my teeth, or you didn't. We hope you did, but if you didn't, we love you anyway. You know, I took a bath or I brushed my hair or whatever that I done. I got ready and I drove to church and I'm at church. You ain't done nothing yet. They, some people, they ain't even done that much yet. But if you had lied and you know you're supposed to be going to church, and listen, God knows what you know. The person sitting right beside you may not have the light you have. That's why you can't judge nobody. Because you don't know. You may know what they've heard to a certain degree, but you don't know if light came. Because everything that I have heard, light has not come off of it. I get a little piece over here. I get a little nugget over there. This sticks out to me over there. I get a little red. What's God say? Here a little, there a little, right? It's how he builds us. But whatever little came to you, you got to do it. But just because I got here to church this morning, I ain't done nothing yet. Now, we're hearing the word, but we ain't done nothing yet. Some people say they're convinced because I went to church or I clicked on my phone, I heard the word, whoo, that was a good message, they've done something. Ain't done nothing yet. Y'all hear what I'm telling? We ain't done nothing yet. When do we actually do something? When we hear it and we do it. Do it. See, we can't get convinced that we think we've done something when we ain't done it yet, because that's where a lot of people are and they're deceived in it. Just like this. I know I need to tithe. Oh, Lord, you're going to get on that. Yes, we are. I don't care what you think. Look at this face. I have come a long way. I used to be quiet and shy, and I didn't say nothing to nobody because I was so bound up with the spirit of fear on the inside, but it would manifest itself most of the time as anger to keep people away from me so I don't got to deal with you. But God has helped me with all that, and now I really just don't care. As long as I'm pleasing to him, and I don't say and do things on purpose to offend anybody. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Well, look at me like that, Dee. I really don't. She's kind of like me, so I don't know why she's looking at me like that. She's kind of blunt and straightforward. She does our taxes. I don't know. I think it was a couple of years ago. This ain't my message, but anyway, it's funny. Scotty's in there, you know, he always takes care of that. I don't go see her. He does. And she told him how much and everything. He said, well, where'd all the money go? She said, well, don't ask me. You spent it. I don't know where it went. So I say, she's kind of like me. So then she's sitting over looking at me like that, like, you really do it on purpose, don't you? No, I don't. And the thing about it, I can't offend you if you don't let me. I can slap you in your mouth, but if you won't get offended, I don't care what I do to you. Right? Jesus never got offended. He could not be offended. Why? Love cannot be, can it, Johnny? I hear Johnny quote that a lot. And that's good. And it helps you, don't it? Yes, it does. But we got to make sure that we're doers of the word and not hearers, just like this. I know I need to tithe. Y'all thought I forgot, didn't you? I didn't. If I did, the Holy Ghost reminds me. I know I need to tithe. My pastor preaches on it all the time. We have a whole part of the service about tithing every Sunday morning, don't we? And sometimes he'll get on a 15-minute roll with it. So my pastor preaches on it. I got my Bible out, and I read it for myself, so I know I need to do it, right? Have you done it yet? And I'm not just talking to y'all. I'm sure probably every one of y'all in here are tithers and givers. But how many knows? I'm speaking to people all over the world. People that should have been here this morning sitting in these pews, but they're listening right now. You ain't done nothing yet. Well, I'm going to tithe. Have you done anything yet? No, you ain't. Now listen to my words, what I'm saying. I'm not asking you what you're doing. See, we're not going to be judged by our intentions, is what I'm getting at. We're going to be judged according to the scripture says, our words, right? Y'all remember that? Our thoughts, right? Which is our motives, right? And what we do. Not our intentions. Not what we know we should do. Right? So we got to make sure, because see, like I said, I see some things in me. Well, I know I need to, and I was going to. Listen, I didn't get this big not knowing about eating. Travis hates the name Don Colbert. Y'all ever heard of him? He's about 9 years old, and he cannot stand it when I listen to Don Cope. He's a health, I don't want to say fanatic, but he's a health teacher. He's a doctor, and he teaches on health and all that. I got all the books. With looking at me laughing. I got all the books on how to eat healthy. I got the books on losing weight. Travis is 31 years old. I'm talking about a starter when he was about 9. And they hate it when I get on that kick, too. Because from time to time, I would be a doer. And from time to time, I would not. That's how I got this kick. And I don't care what you weigh. 500 pounds, if you're okay with it and your Lord is okay with it and your husband or wife, hey, far be it from me. I'm talking about me. I know I'm not supposed to be this big. I know I have been eating unhealthy. I feel it physically, and then when I feel it on the inside here. Y'all not saying nothing. Don't take I'm talking about me. If y'all want to, we can get on y'all stuff. What's yours, D? What's yours, Sandy? Y'all rather me talk about mine, wouldn't you? So, is it a lack of knowledge? No. I watched Don Colbert, and not only him, some other ones. I mean, I've studied the macros you're supposed to do and the intermittent fasting they've come out with now. That's just regular fasting if you read the word and pray with it. But anyway, excuse me. So it's not a lack of knowledge. Y'all not saying nothing. See, and I could say, well, it's because I don't know. God knows I know. And if you've been in my library at home, and know I have read them books and studied them books and went and bought the groceries that they said to buy. Y'all know it costs more to eat healthy than it does to eat junk? Reckon why that is. I bet the devil's involved with that. Anyway, I got all the books. I've read all the books. And when I would be a doer of the word, I'd go to the grocery store and I'd buy the things that they said to buy. And I'd come home and I would actually eat the things that they said to eat. Guess what would happen? I would lose weight, my health would get better, I would get stronger. Put it on tithing. See, you know, you look at me now, I've not been a doer of what I know when it is concerning food. I'm not talking about y'all's food, listen up. I'm trying to make an example. Jesus used parables, right? Natural things so we could understand spiritual things. Well, anytime and listen to me, I hate it when I hear people say I got it. Because most of the time when I hear him say, I got it, I'm like, oh, no. You never get it. You may learn the process or understand the process, but that means you got to do it every time. Every time sickness attacks you, that means you got to submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. Right? Every time. Because anytime you're not, you're going to be overcome with sickness. And I'm not talking about on your body. There's a difference in it attacking your body and it attacking you. Just like you hear me right now, I'm not sick. I have not been sick. Why? I am the man on the inside. Has sickness attacked my body? Absolutely. I'm telling you, six different things just boom, 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 right in a row. But guess what? I'm still here. But anytime you can be doing the word, doing the word, doing the word on love, doing the word on love, doing the word. But anytime you quit doing the word on love, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get mad. You're going to get sad. You're going to break. You're going to do something opposite of the word of love. So you never get it like you got a hold of it and that's it. You may get the process of what you're supposed to do. But every single time you got to make the choice to do the word, whatever that word is. Just like this, people come and bless their hearts. I understand. I'm telling you, I have lived in the car and I have took a bath in the river. I have been homeless, all this stuff. I mean, Scotty, I ain't even going to say that. That was so bad. But anyway, I understand, bro. I've been broke. I'm not broke no more. And the only reason is because here come God with light, his word, a little bit at a time. And we would do our very best to do it. We started tithing. We started giving when the Lord would prompt us to. Now, Scotty, more than me at the time or whatever, you know, and started trying to be good stewards. The first thing God said, we borrowed money from Granny and Papa all the time. It's going different than what I thought. Anyway, I just worked through it. We would borrow money from Granny and Papa all the time. You know, you run out of money, you ain't got enough money to till the end of the week. You know, Travis, he ain't even 2 years old yet. Or no, he's two. He was two when we got saved. Or I got saved. But anyway, the first thing God spoke to us was, stop borrowing money from Granny and Papa. And we're like, oh, God, you can't be telling us this. How are we going to make it? Y'all not saying nothing. I'm going all the way back to the beginning of this thing. We ain't got no faith to believe God for no money. And this is what we've been doing. The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusts in man. And that's what we was doing as Christians, trusting in them. Because that's what we had done before we become Christians. And we just stayed on that crutch. If it's working, why change it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I think about it. Well, lo and behold, here comes God. And he says, stop borrowing money from them. Gotta be a doer of the word. We knew. We both knew. So we said, okay. We can't borrow no more money from Granny and Papa. Oh, was that hard? Yeah, it was hard. But is God faithful? Yes, he was. Did any time anything happen, did it look like it was going to be good? No. And a little bit at a time, we increased. Then here we go. God says, stop borrowing this. And we're like, we had a credit account at the little store. We lived over there at Rosa. And y'all know that little store there at Rosa? I think somebody else got it now. They're redoing it. Well, anyway, back in the day, we had a credit account. Oh, we stop over there and put gas in and get us some chips and some dip. Y'all not saying nothing. Because why? I ain't got no money to buy no chips and dip at the grocery store. I got a calculator. I got to get some beans and I got to get this. No chips and dip. So we get chips and dip on the credit. Along with the gas for Scotty to go back to work next week. Y'all not saying nothing. Maybe I'm just talking to the Facebook people. But anyway, go on with that, and then God says, stop getting credit at that store. And I'm like, oh, there goes my chips and dip. I'm serious. Your flesh will scream, especially if you've been letting it have its way in a certain way. Then God starts speaking to us about stop blowing money on this and stop blowing money on this. You know, you probably blow more money than what you think you do, even when you ain't got none. Why? I didn't need them chips and dip. You know, I didn't need that pack of gum or whatever the case might be. So we obeyed the word about that. Then, for you know it, you know, Scotty, we are paying over $1,000 a month truck payments and then a trailer payment and then everything else we got. We have nothing at all that is paid for except my car. And I had bought it from Granny and Papa on payments, $50 a week. And they would sometimes Papa would always give us Christmas money. He would always give a couple, if he was married, $50. And my payment was $50. So I knew when I didn't have my payment, all I got to do is, if I can make it till Christmas, there's a payment. When he gives it to me, I'll go out and I'll come back. Oh, Papa, here's your $50. Here's my car payment. He wasn't dumb. But that's how I live. Excuse me. So anyway, all we had at the time was my car that was paid for. Then we got to get my flesh, this big honking four-wheel drive Dodge, you know, that I told you. And then we got to have the Rockford Fosgate amp and the floorboards, you know, and the Audiobond speakers and the back seat, you know. And I can't armor all. I got leather seats, but you can't armor all. Turn that radio on, you'll just vibrate right out of that seat. So I got to have all this stuff, you know. I ain't got no money for no groceries, but I find money somewhere for that. Because it's heavy. I don't know why we're so big on this. This is not even wrote down, y'all. Anyway, we get over $1,000 a month vehicle payments. That's not counting insurance. That's a lot. Especially when you owe on everything else, you know, and you got a kid and you need to eat and everything. Well, here we go a month. We ain't got it. Oh, this is what we do. Now, see, it wasn't the devil signed on the dotted line. It was us. Well, Scotty, I didn't even have to do it. Scotty signed on the dotted line, you know, for those vehicles. Promising we'll pay this and we'll do this, you know. What you're entering into a contract. They say what they're going to do. You say what you're going to do. Then when you don't do it, they come get your stuff. Well, we didn't have it, so guess what we do? I'm on the front porch. Scotty's on the back porch. Oh, God, help us, Lord. I know y'all ain't never done this. And I'm crying, and the mascara's running, and Scotty's on the back porch, and he's praying, and we're saying, oh, God, if you'll forgive us and help us, we'll never do this again. And he did. And we did. We did. Right back again. Why? Because now it's not about God bringing in the money. Now it's about disciplining and controlling and being a good steward of what God has brought. Because how many knows God can bring you $5,000 to $10,000 a week? Can he, Stacy? Yes, he can. We saw her and her family going from tithing on food stamps, bringing canned stuff back there to give away to what? 5,000 and more a week sometimes? She's nodding her head for y'all that don't know. And you can live in that place. And if you don't discipline your flesh and you don't be a good steward of what God brings in, you owe $10,000 a week and be broke on Monday. So then now here comes in that part of the word. Oh, and us Christians, we really don't like that part. But what did Paul say? He said, I buffet my body, not buffet. I know it's spelt the same way, but he meant buffet. That means to be black and blue if you study that. Because I was hoping it said buffet, but it did not. It said buffet. He said that I buffet my body. I bring it under subjection, right? He said, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might become a castaway. How many knows your flesh can disqualify you from God's goodness? And it's not God. God's always trying to get it to us. But if I won't discipline my flesh and I won't be a good steward, even though he's bringing it and he's supplying, it goes right out the door. The devil's stealing it through my own flesh. So here we go. Then we're making them payments, you know, and all this stuff. With TV on the credit from Badcocks down there. Big old TV. I think we may give it to y'all. I don't remember. Anyway, that's when they come out, not flat screen. This thing's the size of the side of the house. Y'all remember them? We bought one of them. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 6 months, same as cash. Hallelujah. Y'all don't know what you do. You better read the fine print, because I did not. And what that was, yeah, they give you 6 months, interest-free, same as cash. One day late, all that interest, you pay it, even if it's your last payment. I did not realize that. Look at the devil. I could have done without that big TV, but guess what? I want it. Y'all didn't know my TV is my thing. I don't hunt. I don't fish. You know, I did play cards with a girl sometimes at the building or whatever. I mean, used to. I had my own dude buggy. double barrel carburetors. Woo, I had two carburetors on that baby. California rail. I got my own dune buggy. Scotty's got his dune buggy. Some of my other family members, they got their dune buggies. Saturday morning, boy, we hit the strip pits. That's coal mines, in case you don't know. We hit the coal mines. Oh, we just tearing up the dirt and mud hose all day long. Then we go from that, and we get rid of them, and we get four-wheelers. And Travis, I don't remember how old he is, but he's still pretty little. So then we get four-wheelers. And we get him a little four-wheeler, things about this big, and he rides in between me and Scotty. And, oh, we hit the strip pits again. So I've done all that stuff. Listen, I'm 52 years old. I like to just sit on the couch and watch a kicking movie. I live through my movie. I have adventures. I go places, and I never leave the couch. So I've done all of that stuff out there, and I'm not going to do that no more. It's cold out there. So I've lived that life, and I don't hunt, and I don't. But I like to watch TV. Didn't I tell y'all God told me this year he's going to direct and redirect, arrange and rearrange? My life is upside down right now. Everything concerning my money, God said change it. My TV programming is gone. Can y'all believe that? Seriously. I'm not going to go through what happened and all that. But in here, I got the peace of God. And I got the grace of God. I've learned how to mirror. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you didn't tell me about that. All they know about it didn't tell me. I could mirror my phone onto the TV. Hey, when you lose your programming and TV's your thing, baby, you can learn a lot like that. I mean, I've had Beth and Travis out there, and Travis tells me I'm getting too needy. I got to know how to do this stuff. Why? Could I get another TV program? Yes, I could, but I'm not going to. Why? I'm not going to move in the flesh because I know this is God moving, or I would not have the peace and the grace. Because when you mess with my TV, that's not a good thing. I had 7 preaching channels. Watch all my preaching and my study and all that in the mornings while nobody's there. So I've got 7 different preaching channels that I watch because one ain't on the one channel. Y'all get what I'm saying? And then you go to no preaching channels. I did find one. Ah, you see? That told me I got an app on my TV. If you got these new TVs, smart TV? You got apps on there. You can watch TV. I did not know that. So now I'm going to say, I'm not even going to tell y'all because I had the Evergreen pack plus some add-ons. So now, anyway, I'm saving that amount of money that I was spending every month, and I'm learning how to do this. You know, so, and people say, I don't watch TV. If you've ever mirrored your phone to your TV, you watch TV. Y'all not saying nothing. Don't be saying you ain't doing something, you're doing. Then you just don't. So I'm not going to say I don't watch TV. I don't have a programmer. What does that mean? Dish or director. What? I don't got one of them. But I've learned how to mirror, so I'm still watching my TV. Now, my flesh was screaming this morning because I couldn't get my favorite preacher at 7 o'clock like I always do on Sunday morning. I couldn't find it on my phone or nothing to mirror it to the TV. So I don't like that. But guess what? It don't matter what I don't like. It's called discipline. See, just like reading your Bible through in a year. And some of y'all don't like that when I say that. I don't care. I'm trying to help you, and so's God. Just like reading your Bible through in a year, I'm telling you, you will gain so much. And I'm not just talking about revelation. You're gaining patience. Because, see, there's times it's so good. I'm like, what is that? What is the next chapter? And you don't read the next chapter. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, it's not just about you are gaining and putting things on the inside of you. Why? Because without patience, your faith can be great, but if you're going to be long, if you're going to have to wait, hey, I ain't told y'all lately, have I? My brother's home, sleeping in his own bed in my mama's house. I don't know how long that's been, but that was, I don't know, back sometime last year. I ain't got time to tell y'all the story about that. I'm sorry. I say it, why? Because that's what I'm believing God for. It's what he said to believe for. So I'm building things as I'm reading my chapters every day and I'm studying my Bible. Number one, I'm exercising patience. Number two, I'm exercising steadfastness. You know why? I don't want to read my Bible every day in the flesh. Just like the revelation that I told you that I didn't see last year that I saw the other day when I read that same verse that I had read last year that evening. I usually do it in the morning, but I didn't have time, so I had to do it that evening. And I'm sitting there on the couch, and I'm like, in here, I'm like, you ain't done your reading yet. You ain't done your reading yet. And my flesh is like, shut up. I don't want to. I'm tired. I don't want to get off of this couch. I don't want to go read it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I know my flesh is the awfulest one in here. We'll just say that. I'll be like the Apostle Paul. I feel like I am the chief of sinners compared to others sometimes. But you know what? I'm building something. And I built something last year that I need for this year. So if you'll do it, I guarantee you it's going to do on the inside of you and add to you way more than you ever thought possible. Good grief, our time is up. Can I do like Scotty? He'll say that. Oh, I done kept y'all past time, and he'll go 10 more minutes. Y'all think that's going to be okay? Y'all trying to get me in trouble now is what y'all are doing. Yeah, see? Monty.